Welcome to the NowaraCast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we are tracking some massive shifts in the AI landscape today.
That's right. The frontier model race is getting incredibly weird. We're seeing companies that were previously championing open weights suddenly lock things down, while others are entirely abandoning the benchmark race to focus on hyper-efficient, low-cost utility.
Exactly. Today, we're going to unpack a major release from Google that completely redefines their strategy for the Gemini family, leaning hard into speed and volume over pure reasoning dominance.
And we'll also be looking at Alibaba's newest image generation model, Qwen Image 3.0. It boasts some frankly unbelievable prompt-following capabilities, but there's a huge catch that has the open source community up in arms.
Plus, we've got a packed roundup covering Moonshot AI's new workspace platform, a fresh take on the US-China open weights dynamic, and some deep-in-the-weeds configuration updates requested for Claude Code subagents.
It's a lot to cover, so let's get right into it.
Let's start with Google. On July 21st, they dropped a trio of new models, Gemini 3.6 Flash, 3.5 Flash Lite, and a highly specialized model called 3.5 Flash Cyber. And what's really striking here isn't necessarily a leap in absolute capability, but a massive recalibration of cost and speed.
Right. This feels like a very deliberate strategic pivot. Let's look at the numbers. Gemini 3.6 Flash is coming in at $1.50 per 1 million input tokens, and $7.50 per million output tokens. Google claims it has a 17% higher token efficiency than the previous 3.5 Flash.
Which is already incredibly cheap for a model of that caliber. But then you look at 3.5 Flash Lite, and the numbers get almost absurd. It's priced at 30 cents per million input tokens and $2.50 per million output tokens. But the real headline for Flash Lite is the throughput. It's running at 350 output tokens per second.
350 tokens a second is blisteringly fast. That's the kind of latency profile you need when you aren't just having a back-and-forth chat with an AI, but when you have autonomous agents running hundreds of background loops, scraping data, summarizing it, and making routing decisions in real time. Google is clearly looking at the rise of agentic workflows and deciding that the winner of this next phase won't necessarily be the smartest model, but the fastest and cheapest one.
I think that's exactly right. But we have to talk about the elephant in the room. This release feels a bit like a stopgap measure. We are still waiting on Gemini 3.5 Pro, which has been delayed. Releasing a 3.6 version of the Flash tier, while the 3.5 version of the Pro tier is still MIA, tells me they are struggling to hit their targets on the heavy compute frontier models.
It definitely raises questions. And to add to the intrigue, in this exact same announcement, Google confirmed that they have officially begun pre-training for Gemini 4. That feels like a classic PR maneuver. Hey, don't look at the delayed 3.5 Pro. Look over here. We're already spinning up the GPUs for Gemini 4. It's a look ahead to keep investors and enterprise clients on the hook.
Speaking of enterprise clients, we need to touch on the third model in this drop, Gemini 3.5 Flash Cyber. This is a specialized model specifically trained for finding and patching security vulnerabilities.
And crucially, it is not available to the general public. Google is currently limiting access to governments and trusted partners. That's a fascinating move. It acknowledges that an AI highly optimized for finding zero days is essentially a dual-use weapon.
Exactly. If you give a model like that to an enterprise defender, it's a revolutionary patch management tool. If you give it to a ransomware syndicate, it's an automated exploitation engine. Limiting it to trusted partners makes sense, but it also fundamentally changes the competitive landscape for enterprise AI security tools. If Google is offering a bespoke, government-grade cyber model, how do independent security startups compete with that?
They probably don't, at least not at the foundational model layer. They'll have to build workflows on top of it. But zooming out, this entire release, 3.6, Flash, Flash Lite, Flash Cyber, shows Google prioritizing high-volume, practical utility. They are trying to flood the zone with cheap, fast inference to counter the surge of open-source models we've been seeing.
Which is a perfect transition Because while Google is trying to outcompete open source on price, one of the biggest champions of open source AI just made a very surprising pivot.
Right. Let's talk about Alibaba. On the exact same day Google made their announcement, July 21st, Alibaba's QN team released QN Image 3.0. And the biggest news here isn't the feature set. It's the fact that unlike previous iterations, this model has not been released with open weights.
This is a massive shift. Just 2 days ago on this show, we were talking about Alibaba releasing QN 3.8 as a 2.4 trillion parameter open weights model, directly challenging proprietary frontier models. And now, for their flagship image generator, they slam the door shut. No open weights, no formal benchmarks, and no technical papers provided at launch.
It's jarring. But when you look at what QN Image 3.0 is actually designed to do, you start to see why they might be treating it differently. They are positioning this not as a creative tool for making pretty pictures, but as a hardcore productivity engine. The core design principle they cite is the Chinese concept of real, or Xi.
And the specs back that up. The most insane metric here is that the model supports input prompts of up to 4,500 tokens. Just think about that for a second. That's pages and pages of text. You aren't just saying, draw a cat in space. You are giving it a highly structured, multi-page creative brief.
Exactly. Because of that massive context window, the model can generate incredibly complex, information-dense layouts in a single pass. We're talking full newspaper pages or multi-panel infographics, complete with legible text rendered as small as 10 pixels. It also supports 12 languages natively and reproduces fine details like skin and hair texture with extreme accuracy.
I have to play devil's advocate here, though. Alibaba is calling this a productivity tool because it can generate a dense, text-heavy layout. But at the end of the day, the output is a static pixel image. If I use a 4,500 token prompt to generate a gorgeous infographic, but I can't edit the text layers or move a chart slightly to the left, how much value does that actually have for a professional workflow?
That's the fundamental limitation of all diffusion models right now. A static PNG is a dead end for a graphic designer. But I think you're underestimating the reasoning breakthrough required to make this happen. For an AI to ingest 4,500 tokens of instruction and spatially organize that into a coherent multi-panel layout without hallucinating the text or losing the thread, that isn't just pattern matching. That requires a deep structural understanding of layout and typography.
That's a fair point on the reasoning side, but it brings us back to the closed source question. If this is such a leap in spatial reasoning, why hide the weights? Is it because the architecture is so novel they want to protect it? Or is it a safety issue where generating highly realistic text-heavy documents in 12 languages is just too risky to let loose in the wild?
It's probably a mix of both. The ability to generate convincing, information-dense documents, like a fake newspaper front page with perfectly legible 10-pixel text, is a disinformation nightmare. But it also signals that Alibaba sees direct commercial value in this specific capability, and they want to monetize it via cloud APIs, rather than giving it away.
It certainly fractures the narrative that Chinese labs are strictly committed to open source dominance. It seems they are perfectly willing to lock down models when the commercial or safety calculus demands it.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. First up in the roundup is Kimi Work, a new desktop-based AI productivity environment from Beijing-based Moonshot AI.
We've talked a lot about their Kimi K3 model recently, but Kimi Work is the actual platform built on top of it. It integrates writing, coding, and research into a single shared context. It leverages their agent swarm technology for parallel task execution and something called WebBridge for browser automation.
The demand for this all-in-one workspace has been absolutely staggering. In fact, as of July 20th, Moonshot AI actually had to temporarily pause new subscriptions for its Kimi services just to prioritize existing users while they scale their compute capacity.
Yeah, It's a good problem to have, but it shows how compute-constrained even the most successful AI startups really are right now.
Speaking of compute constraints, that ties perfectly into our next story.
Ben Thompson over at Stratechery just published a piece titled "Who's Afraid of Chinese Models?" analyzing the exact US-China dynamic we've been tracking.
His core argument is fascinating. He suggests that the perceived cost advantage of Chinese models isn't a structural threat, but rather the result of a transitory compute shortage in the US. American frontier labs have to charge high prices to manage overwhelming demand and fund their massive future training runs.
Right. He calls it a price umbrella. And he argues that current US strategies of tightening terms of service and export controls are actually counterproductive because they hinder American open source development while failing to stop Chinese labs from releasing highly competitive models.
Finally, looking at the developer trenches, there's an interesting feature request gaining traction on the Claude Code Subagent GitHub repository regarding subagent configuration.
Currently, subagent model resolution follows a strict hierarchy, heavily relying on the Claude Code Subagent Model Environment variable. But users are frustrated that they lack a native way to configure effort levels, which range from low to max and dictate reasoning depth, without having to fork or manually edit the agent definitions.
It highlights a growing pain point in multi-agent workflows. Developers want granular control over token spend and reasoning depth per task, but relying on global environment variables creates configuration drift, where you accidentally override specific agent needs.
And that is all we have for today's Narracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates, analysis, and everything you need to know from the frontier of tech.
See you then.